Welcome to the first podcast from the South of the Fraser InterArts Collective. Sophia C. is a group of artists dedicated to presenting intercultural and interdisciplinary public art events in Surrey, BC. To learn more about our events and how you may get involved, visit sophiacollective.com. The Sophia Collective recognizes the generous support from the City of Surrey. This podcast event was co-sponsored by the Arts Council of Surrey and received promotional support from Culture Days. In this podcast, we will hear a recording from our inaugural event, Verse on the Edge, held this past September at the Newton Cultural Center. We will hear works from two local poets, Taryn Hubbard and Cecily Nicholson, followed by a Q&A session with the audience. So now, here's our evening's MC, Pinder Dulai, introducing our first poet.
Taryn Hubbard is a multidisciplinary poet who contributes to the storytelling show on Co-op Radio and is a member of the Sophia C and has been a member of Room Magazine Collective since 2012. Taryn Hubbard's work has been published or is forthcoming in CV2 event, Subterrane, The Golden Handcuffs Review, Woman Zine, and others. She studied at SFU and works as a communications specialist. Taryn's current chapbook is Wally Sweets, and it's available for sale over there. And I believe that Taryn will be reading some new work as well as some of the work from the Wally Sweets. So welcome, Taryn.
Thank you so much, Pinder. Before I get started, I just wanted to thank Pinder for really spearheading this event and taking control of logistics to get us all here. And I'm really impressed by how many people came out for poetry. So it's really exciting. And especially everyone who took the bus here. Thanks. Before I start reading some of my poems, I wanted to read a quote from a book called Basic Perspective. And it was a book that I picked up at one of the thrift shops in Wally for $1.29. And it's written by Robert W. Gill. And it has this wonderful quote at the introduction. "It is impossible to look at an object or view without being aware of the existence of perspective, the optical effect which gives a sense of distance and solidarity to what is seen." And I really like these words in terms of my poetry, which is a lot to do about Surrey and its felt sense of place, because while I see the things on the streets, they may not be a part of my everyday life, but it's part of my community, so it is. I feel a little bit of solidarity to it. So the first poem I'll read will be Inverted Triangle. And there's a few of my friends from journalism school here, and they can tell you what an inverted triangle is. Basically, it's your lead in a news story. And the idea is everything that you need to know about the story is in that very first line. So if you read to the bottom, you would just get more details. So it's an inverted triangle. So this is called Inverted Triangle. "For sale. Land for high rise. Cell number. Potential. Residential single family to commercial development multi. Motivated. Asphalt. Faded. Crumbling. Crack shack. Removed. Squatters. Pop-up tent. Community. Reputation. What are you? X, X, X. I keep forget. Remember, the first service station sold ice, gas, air, rented cabins round back. No hope for train station in this town. Land, dirt, trees, wild animal noises, lots, spaces for parking." In this poem, in particular, and some of the other poems I'll read, I do a lot of research in the Surrey archives, and the people there are so nice and so helpful. But the interesting part about Surrey is that it actually started off as a gas station. It started off as a triangle. Arthur Wally started a gas station. So gas stations come up a little bit, which when you think of the suburbs, it kind of makes sense. And this next poem is called, "In This City, Everything Is So Far Apart." And this was inspired by my walk from my house to the Gateway SkyTrain. "In this city, everything is so far apart. I run past methadone clinic strip, client's weight, gum, ash, crushed, cup, zigzag, pack, spit. Where are you going so fast? You gonna make it? Over 500 acres of here and available. Parking lot, crust, piss, rust, car, shells, yellow signs, brake jobs in 1 hour. Guy with raccoon tail, keychain, steps, cigarette butt outside. All women must be accompanied by wife. Sorry, we're open. A stove, 1972 model, top quality, $200, or best offer. This next poem is called V3T, and V3T is one of the postal codes in Wally. And it was inspired by a poem by Sashiko Murakami, who is a poet that I really like. She wrote a poem called V6A, which is a postal code in Chinatown, Strathcona area. And in her poem, she's talking a lot about the idea of buying an idea of a condo. Like right now, this is all just an empty pit, but soon there will be 70 stories. And if you're lucky, you can put a deposit on the 50th story. So she uses there a lot. So in my poem, I'm using here. So here are condos named Quattro, Ethical Gardens, Access, Evo, Park Place, The Brooklyn. Thinly, suburban, no place, every, nowhere. Surrey City Center, Wally, this. Here, by the 60-minute stays, Econo Lodge, Flamingo Motor Motel, Surrey City Center Motel, Super 8. I'm sorry about the mess. Pressure wash the streets, they come back dirt. Here, a good place to remove from, by next to SkyTrain, Freeway, Bus Loop. Here, billboard covers broken window theory, projects watercolor highway, high-rise, a paycheck, Stratifies. Here, a strip of shops, South Indian, Jamaican, East Indian, Vietnamese, Ukrainian, Korean, pawn. Here, a neighborhood renamed City Center, headquarters in the old Wally Mall, updated designer paint. This next poem is called 11 Rocks for Sale, and it was, I didn't get a picture of this, which is really unfortunate, but one day I was walking and there was a for lease sale sign, and somebody took some spray paint and put 11 Rocks for Sale, so I titled this poem 11 Rocks for Sale. Three pharmacies on strip, blinking lights red on storefront, bars, boys swing awning boot on window, West Wally Ring Road to University Drive on plan. This building respects police authority and will report. On sign, there's a can of Old Milwaukee. Stop tapping on driver's side. Highly unlikely the house can be restored on listing. All trespassers will be executed on blue fence. I got stainless, granite, laminate for less than rent. On back page ad, a rebrand helps necessary readjustment. This next poem was one of the first poems that I wrote when I started to think about Surrey, and it's called You Go to Town. We'll okay demo of trees, bushes. If once you've finished building your condo, 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 condo. You'll lay cement, form sidewalks, trim edges, snuggle blankets of grass. You see, we didn't have sidewalks before, just ditches. It's okay to set sail, labor identity over website, over press release, over word of mouth. If once you've broken soil, you barrier the big tree. And take care not to accidentally, an accident, kill roots. This poem is called Broken Triangle, and it's to do with the idea that Wally started with a triangle spot. Fold old parking lot in and in, drive awkward three-point intersection. This triangle-shaped plot outs, parking stall push, anti-urban, invites you to come, sit. We'll do it better then. Drive up and then, drive through then, about time to gas up. Fold triangle half over, still, hide 3 points, wish concrete edges dry, pressure rainbow potholes for, this space takes on more cigarette butts, advance left, thin grass seed kicks up. One of the things that I'm trying to do eventually with this project is write a sprawling poem, because when I think of Surrey, I naturally think of sprawl. And whenever I tell people that I live in Whalley, they always ask me, like, is that pawn shop still there, or that pawn shop? I'm always kind of curious about that. So this poem is called Yes, We Pawn Shop. How will I rein this in? A view corridor, not really, but a long distance of grouse still. Cheap land, great potential, close to transit. Be sure to avoid City Parkway, undesirables. Surrey girls give great head. Home of North America's only XXX triplex. My friend played Whalley Little League. His dad coached. His dad also, in spare time, fixed cars. If you have concepts, please enter contest to stop sprawl. Cash, iPods, gift cards. At night, meatheads hang out in front, less now. It takes money to change the names of streets. I pledge to put an end to sprawl. It is unsightly, and we deserve better. How could he be building a grow-up back there? He said hi to me. Yale Town used to be a rail yard. Believe it. You know the one about the Surrey girls? The wonderful thing about the Surrey Archives is they have a lot of photos. And there's this one photo of Arthur Whalley with a little sign. And underneath it, I guess the archivist wrote temporary 1930-something. So we don't know what year it is. Temporary 1930. Side road. Art Whalley sets up wood structure. For sale. Air, water, gas. It was business as usual. My neighbors laugh so hard at their jokes in Punjabi, slap knees. The Columbian reports Art Whalley pulls his donkey whistle if anyone passes without purchase. It was business as usual. Nightclub draws crowds, police cruiser. Cheap Bud Tuesdays leaves floors slick. My neighbors water grass, and I can't see them through this tree anyway. It was business as usual. After Art Whalley dies, wife Hilda sells Triangle Lot from 108th Avenue to King George Boulevard to Grosvenor Road and moves. On my balcony, I have green chipped fence posts from house close by set for demo. It sits across metal rails. As Pinder was mentioning, I wrote this chapbook called Whalley Suites and in 10 movements. And at first, it was kind of inspired by that, by George Gershwin, because I like his music. And then thinking about suites and condos. And so this first one is Whalley Suites' first movement. If you pull it out of context, it's comforting. How we got to the starting point is never as important as where we go from here. Here, which is unwanted, eyesore, lack of effort, angry residents, against, protecting turf, font family, Helvetica, font size, 11 pixels, modern, minimal, fresh future. The second movement, just find it here. The second movement, if you consider a decade ago, without university, a private tech college, without University Drive, a street called West Whalley Ring Road. What starts with an empty tower, market and community foreshadowed with placeholder, tech, stock images, 20-somethings, frappuccinos, bright teeth, bikes, Vespas. And this is the third movement. If you notice, after house crisps, all drive creep, hope charcoal hawks less. What's your square foot price, selling price, considering? It's a fact. remains since plan version 3, revision 2, a property teardown is worth as much as tax assessment. On 108th and King George, there's an old Ukrainian Orthodox center. And it's a heritage building, I believe. And every so often you can buy some pierogies there that the babushkas make, and it's really exciting. But one day, so I was there buying some pierogies and just kind of wandering around, and there's just kind of, it's an interesting spot. There's a lot of social assistance on that street, and so there was some interesting text written on a dumpster. And so this was kind of the inspiration for the fourth movement. If you dumpster dive, find pierogies, buck, cabbage rolls, disposed, left only to turn you on. Wonder it lonesome, beside a liquor store with barren, cheaper per ounce than Canadian, warm, whatevers in parking lots. The fifth movement, and I'm a huge, I love thrifting, and I think there's some really great thrift stores around here. So if you ask, will a portion of my purchase go to charity? And yes, buy more, and no, still buy as much. Secret sites for legit hipster replicas worn in urban context to be appreciated with full irony. Sixth movement. If you have fun now, play safe, don't dare walk, talk, look at anyone who lives there, text me when you make it, be sure, validate all three zones. If only you must, only if you seek congratulations, people so scared to walk there, not my place, which I rent to a family for its view, $1,200 a month. Sometimes, like, realtors just say funny things, and so I have this one poem. If your realtor says, stay on this side of King George Boulevard, King George Highway, sick boulevard, it's better for later, when you don't live here. Realtor representation is based on desirous empowerment promotion of previously untapped land parcel. So those are my suites, and besides this, the archives, I'm also always looking up YouTube videos, and I found this YouTube video that there was this woman, and I think she was having some chemical reaction to some drugs that she was on, and someone actually made a video of it and put it to dance music, like club music, and that's when, that was the day I learned what the Wally Wiggle was and the Hastings Shuffle. And I think you'll learn what those are in this poem as well. So this is called The Wally Wiggle. Reduce the street corner, arms flailing. Increase tempo for the Wally Wiggle, dance, walk, video. Improve the angle of the camera phone, perfect zoom. Reduce a woman tweaking. Increase laugh my fucking ass off. Improve broadcast yourself for 50 seconds. Reduce substance abuse, a chemical imbalance. Increase, holy shit, dude, those crackheads, heroin addicts. Improve, share, remove, flag for spam, block user, unblock user. Reduce a moment. Increase, this is like Suri's version of the Hastings Shuffle. Improve copyright infringement, but the beat matches her arms, flailing. Reduce comment removed. Increase featured video, crackhead, flailing in Surrey. Improve, 21,545 views. Reduce the woman. Increase the times I died laughing, laughed so hard I cried. Improve, LOL, a Wally classic. And my final poem that I'll read of the Wally suites, and then I'll read a few more that I'm writing about abandoned mattresses. I found this great ad on Craigslist that somebody was trying to rent out a room in their home, and it was extensive. Like, you would really need to follow a lot to get a chance to live in this house. So I used that text for a poem, and it's called $450 Room to Let. I have a single room. Police check. Will be done. Fire burning heat, please respect. the accommodation, for cleaning is not onerous, requires a safety deposit, and methadone is still a drug. You can't bring loud stereos. I assure you, food and supplies are extra. Service escorts not welcome. Students, nearby school, drug program, good for you, but you will be expected to keep patients. No desire to host reformed person, regardless of firm footing. Employment is important here, as well as right attitude for 10-minute walk to university, a stone's throw social assistance, people with their issues. This house has a property manager. His name is Mike. Tell us your expectations. If you can't afford to, seek a living elsewhere. I never replied to that posting. I'd be too scared. This one of the chapbook projects that I'm working on now is with a visual artist, a local visual artist, Aaron Moran. And one day we were just thinking about how many abandoned mattresses we see, and how, like, in your home, like, your mattress is like your comfortable place to sleep and relax, but on the street, it's just disgusting. And I shouldn't be seeing that. And there goes the neighborhood. Exactly. It's the bed bugs. You can't trust it. So this first poem is called Pave Desire Paths. Our mattress sleeps without pillow. Cool front step, asphalt bump, thread-thin dried spring, a body. Steel coils, rust, squeak, run counter, decade, soft, sweat. Yellow floral pattern, we are out of time. Dragged and hung out, I will just leave mattress on side road. We avoid alleys around here, even when disposing. And I will read a poem about bed bugs. So this poem is called Simex lectularius, which is the fancy words for bed bugs. Blood beats detoxify. Forget flight. Bed bug, triangle bite, breakfast, lunch, supper. I scratch because it feels better put belongings in roughneck, sealed box. Mattress edges, insect sequence, dark clusters. Something tells me you'll drag that thing in here. Dichloro, depenyl, trichlorothane fails at calm. I hear bloodsucker wait. Thank you.
Hi, folks. We're going to reconvene our poetry reading here. I thought I'd just read this beautiful quote. There are poems here that pulsate with the life and death of the streets, poems that clearly arise out of organized resistance to the Olympics and rampant gentrification, out of the repercussions of Vancouver's devastating mining industry, and out of the struggles of immigrant life. Everywhere, social devastation is brought forward through a broken language that is at once fracturing and reforming into new wholes. And that's a quote from Professor Stephen Collis, and it's a quote in regards to Cecil Lee Nicholson's first book of poetry, Triage, which is available at the book table over at to the side there. So Cecily Nicholson has recently been involved in art and reconciliation through a project that was a residency in Kamloops. It explores the theme of reconciliation from a collaborative space and through the Center for Innovation and Culture and the Arts in Canada through Thompson Rivers University. Cecily has worked in the downtown Eastside community for for quite a few years, since 2000. And in recent years has been a coordinator for the Downtown Eastside Women's Center. She has moved on from that work and is now working with Gallery Caché as a manager there, and has been doing really good work in making sure that the gallery is active and is successful on its fundraising fronts and its projects, and is also very much a collaborator and a creative worker within a number of different communities. Some of her work has been through collaborative efforts that include work with Reworks in Progress at Algoma University and the Shing Wok Residential School Center. And she's also worked through the Ordain Gallery at Simon Fraser University and also Vivo Media Arts. Please welcome Cecily Nicholson.
Folks, thank you so much. First of all, Taryn, where'd you go? I love this piece, so folks, you should really check it out. Really great to hear you read. And Pinder, a surprise, and always so lovely to hear you read. So that was just kind of special. I'm really honored to be here at this inaugural event of the Sophia Collective. I think Surrey is an incredibly important space, culturally, all sorts of reasons, but culturally especially. What is happening across communities here is quite fascinating to me. I'm going to read a couple bits of work from different locations, and they're somewhat place-based. I tend to... Oh, can you hear me all right at the back there? I should double-check that. They're place-based. I tend to ground my work in a location, and it's part of the situation, I suppose, that I'm trying to work through. So I'm going to move back and forth, but I'm going to read some work relative to the Downtown Eastside community, which I've been a part of for many years and where I still work quite a lot. I'm going to explore or share some work that I wrote while I lived in Wally. And a little bit of work that I'm writing right now with a project, my next book, which is called From the Poplars, which is conceptually somewhat based on Poplar Island in New Westminster, which is where I live now on the other side of the bridge. Love's sharp in the distance. Trembling fingers dig for atoms, blurs of resistance, and they're plump and they're blackened. Love's sharp in the distance. Blood bugs, wow, blood bugs, rival roaches, pigeons rustle. Meeting after meeting, Brit, bit, percentages, stitch in, light, industry. Residential ground level retail, commercial activities. Blank, lank, dominant filters, drinking order, rented, privacy, spent in clinics. Hold her there. Sake, let's take you to sobriety. What a day. Pain in a thin tine, no weekend after the last banner. Chur of a tree, her cure so far out of proportion. Pose it was. License to be used, did nothing to make it safe. On the porch stepped too soon, nature being explained policy modules on dotted line joints that are ditch. Sign here and here, and someday we'll sell our roofs. And it's a legacy of efficiencies, these black dots on white tongues ripping shreds. Do a snow dance. He's 11. His mother laughs. Sally Ann and so on sprawl across sunny peaks. Playgrounds will melt. Where medicine grows, children are strong. May the day break. Kind, keeping six, witness, vagrant, years of enclosure. External influences, mechanical influences. Intensification of throughput indifference, and who will work for bus tickets and travel-sized toiletries and socks and cigarettes. The enforceable order. Apothecarial front, sick, back, prospects, orange, cap, pop, blot, land, and remake, survival. Indigent burials, and the wardly heart, wretch, surge, memorials, bruises, memorials, or bruises, yellowed sage and blackberries age behind the brewery, old railway tracks end in bramble, and broken faces living under the bridge. Kiss. ham drippings, salt from an old man's rags. A waning gibbous lamp, low 100 block, sighing alder flats. Branches woven above mossy decay, methadrone, bushwhacked, knotted leaves, pale undersides expose certain rain. Interrogatory hospitality, it's a box with good handles. Ivy, unwaking, once told me about the welt rose. The welt rose and the TB test that freed her from school. The convent east of the family lake. Chromium zinc sanitizes skins. My darlings, Clorentine. Opaque, loose, unsalved splinters, 3x7, 20x30, 1,500 square feet. As people in boxes will never be defeated. Urban sprawl consumes quiet woodlots. Surveillance we submit daily in corporate reserves. Fight fear, distress, chaos, appear helpless, avoid suspicion, but don't look like it. Warped grid, remnant bars with stages. Once the neighborhood is gone, on my streets, lots aplenty. Hey there, Concord Pacific. Fails to flawlessly in crisis always after a paycheck. Seized power resides under the table. Home is where the cart is. Accessed central came from the dirt hills south of the Quipal. Or was it one of the rust bucket states? I can't recall. Broken windows on Eagle Avenue. Months go by, fireworks, lightning, normal city lights, brittle Friday night, February, apparent musculature, market brings in motorists, fuel and fastened seatbelt, passengers, traffic through the inner city, skinny skirt. Language sounds like choking. Can't stop working. Pink flower yield, black-leaved thrift, dead head to keep from bolting apart in all directions. Everyone knew that hotel was a goner. Overgrown with ever-bearing vines, delicious, tart, survivor, dark, caliente, deep, held by glossy hair, best in show. Propagation prohibited, ordinary heat scores, farm, pharmacy, propaganda, pro, file, a curtain, open window, cracked. Somebody else with my name. There's a lot of spirits around me. Baseball bat, forehead, welt, lost the radial pulse, controlled substances, upzone, great pupils, attention, false eyes with many uses. Read the back for more information. The presentation center closing, last chance at pre-construction prices. Runners make connections, board the SkyTrain without purchase, though not for long. 40-story signature properties, the Vancouver Club and the Princess League. The Princess League, chat choices live and local, unrushed, always new faces. Cluttering Ecolalia, economy is a critic, acrid, critical, productivity, but the joy lingers. I always mean to say war. Forces call you out. Over. Exposure. She ought to have earrings. Make them long ones. Professional access. Secure this door. Policy, probation, bail, community, corrections, and possibly a second child. And she awakes front page, world famous, main mini-mart detox. Impunity. Arrest this system. Bingo across from Four Sisters, 66, clickety-click, 52, thank you, a greedy cough, misted pine-free clinic, tiles, cigs, quote, I'm an addict, honey, end quote. Collaborative disorders, signature residences, rental offices open daily, uncut hair hallways, frequenting bathrooms, luggage forgotten, neck, portrait, promises, plans, and person, controlled premises, need-to-know bases. These are people's homes. Writing early morning, April 4th, masks connect chromosomes, kernel of corn, taco shells imported, Mexico, ethanol, guest workers, shaky with the fuzz. Wants, warrants, serve the words, so many of them mothers. Across town, tasers point at persons face down in the mud. Quote, we are going to release the dogs, end quote. This is where my shadow is the longest. Consent, geography to ascent. How to make a well-heeled, well-built boot worth looking into. Outdoor, below, in doorways, constant waiting for the number 10 bus, purple and pink silk quilted jackets, bus passes for sale. No names, but we know each other's faces and what we do with our hands. Me, I type, and I click the icon. With love, Surrey. I have circled the same spot over and over. I have circled this same spot. While the strip mall is condemned and the beer store with the broken glass door is finally closed. I have circled this same spot many times, and when I say circled, I mean to say I walked across those empty lots. And I walked to where the thrift is beauty, and where the living wall rises to the better mall. All around me, mortgaging. All around me, mortgaging the future of the planet. The future of the planet is also here. The future of the planet is also here, and it's wearing sequined shirts and skinny jeans. The future of the planet is on a smartphone, linked to terrible floods and famines and selfies and kittens. Before, where the river drained, I have circled. I have reversed the time lapse. And I've seen the condos crumble, and the lots widen, and the field furrowed, and the marshes seeping back in. With love, Surrey. Shape in the shade, windy walking past the private park blade, dew drops, chopper fly over red, white. We love you, Eva. Asleep, she is asleep, with one leg bent under. And when I wake her, she wakes with that leg numb and can barely stand. So what is the human response? The SkyTrain bordered by three arms of security. She leans, I think of her leaning against the tree trunk. And it's easy to assure her, you are worth. And I will be late for work all I can and pack with that last smoke. Incidents. Stabbing last week, one last night, men came to investigate the Ukrainian hall in 108. And a fight breaks out between two women on train 483. Get off. No, you get off. Gateway security is there and they're picking somebody up or trying real hard. These long pauses, not enough for, but they may want to. Officer, and he looks to the proper moniker. You may want to attend to the fight. And the drunk, and the drunks, and the drunk in the day, during the day, errant furies, and breasts terrifyingly domesticated out here. Keep your head down. Watch your back. People are marked. People are plumb wireless. Take the alley. December. I took the poster off the drywall, functions tact marks. Mercy and more is warranted. This area is carried heavy with vase on the train sound, and the white truck, our white truck, is in the rain sound, and the heavy gutter nadirs are clear, the loud ones are home. True remnants of tropical storm rain warnings tested multiple times by multiple parties, devils by the throat and to the ground. And we remember the sunsea refugees in the dark of the water. Red dots. Tailpipe inhalation, color from the brake light. Throw it out, it looks nice. Address, lipstick, relational objects. Another musical blanketed the area, thrown resources into Bally Boy consensus. Hewers, haulers, over, under, ground, simultaneity gathers again. And this is the turtle's back, and we are on the turtle's back. And one by one, the names are held here, stubborn. grim reflections on objects separated and brilliant climaxes to years of struggle. Quiet, it is in faces. All things, dear light of yet to come there, sleep to things outside, projections inside you, and what's inside you is plume and arc. These half leaves, all riot, blunt, corporate led sacrifice, but what's inside you is plume and arc. I'm just going to read a couple of poems from the section in the latest West Coast Line, renamed Line. It's a beautiful collection, unstated, but it's all women poets, which I thought was kind of righteous. And a beautiful, it's just, if you get a chance to check it out, it's a really, some really wonderful work in here. Poplar Island, for those of you who don't know the space, you drive by it, or rather you train by it if you're on the train out to Surrey from vis-a-vis Vancouver. And you know that island on the other side of the paper factory there? It's dark, kind of foreboding, somewhat strange, mysterious if you pay attention to its space. Or maybe not, maybe it's just a blank. But it's traditional territory of the Kikite people, one of the first original reserves of this province. The last residents from that community were moved to the Kamloops Residential School. That band was revived, and some of you may know the story of Rhonda Larrabee and the efforts and the work that went into re-identifying that community, which had been absorbed into the Musqueam. But it's a story, when we start to look at that space, becomes an unraveling of a complex narrative for me, and my position and relationship as a mixed person, as a settler, is mostly. And it's a traditional burial ground, and it's the place where folks from up the coast, indigenous communities from up the coast, were sent to die during quarantine times in the smallpox in the late 1800s. So this is, we need to know that about that space. We need to respect that, I think. Of course, it has a whole other history. It's just history of industry and labor, and so I'm trying to honor all of that, the layers of it in this project, as well as the waterfront, thinking through what that means in our urban developments, of course. So a couple of just small poems. Straight ahead in the dark shore versus away night, death sands raft, 27 and a half acres. Traditional Viriola Vera droplets express. Quarantine and bury there. The government had not taken the island's graves into account. Warships were built, the view down the launch ramp. Hundreds of workers who walked the parcel, a ranchery, raw, roll, up, roar, raw, connected, corridor. Over the north side's shadow, moonlight streams through a dark, duppy comb of reeds, nerve, ribbons flail, angles strain out of water, breath taking. Come out of time for this turn, silent shore, just a berm to poplars, wild cherry, cottonwood, English ivy, black willow, empathy. Great choiring branches far beyond. And when we perch on the downed limbs. Is not a hand while it was writing, whilst the island, not the factory, while their shifts, they were family, figures with sloped shoulders sell newspapers and bags of cherries on Jefferson Boulevard. Come out to Heidelberg Street for this sculpture of stacked oil drums, USA stenciled on each side, partial size deep into patinas, public purpose. Open area, strive, starve, up, and come. Zones to light across warm faces, these glassed-in places, and all the vacant land and the wide-open spaces we produced. Every autonomy opposed and committed. I'm starting to that piece, I realize, moves a little bit into Detroit territory, where I'm thinking through some aspects of my own history. Trying to imagine it. Maybe just one more poem, I think. Yeah, I don't know how long I've been up here. And I just thought I'd share, I appreciate the mention of multiple references to the reconciliation moment, and it's a very fraught, as Pinder was saying, very fraught moment, and complicated, but incredibly important for many people in terms of speaking and hearing and listening. And gathered with a group of artists that we've been working together for about a year now, but most recently gathered this summer in Kamloops and Shikwekmuk territory, and tried to work through some of these problems in relationship to art. So, and for me, increasingly feeling so much more possibility in thinking things through in terms of art. And so I'm just finally, before this last poem, just gratitude and thank you again to the Sophia Collective, Pinder especially, for the outreach, and you all for being here. It's, again, I think it's really important. I think you're really important. And I look forward to future events and activities. And this is, sorry, one last gesture. I forgot to mention the poems that I wrote in relationship to Wally. Some of those were in conversation with Stephen Collis. So it's kind of funny that you brought a reference from him. But it was a dialogue back and forth. And this poem is a conversation and an ongoing collaboration that I'm working on with a painter and professor type writer, David Garneau, Métis in Saskatchewan. This is what you see at night. Steady interactions of every modality. This road is a creek when it rains, and the ruined body carooms into the margin. The body comes to be behind the mountain. You are a mountain stream around the landscape as the bridge gathers as a passage. Our obstruction forms ditches. This is what you see at night, the healing hanging in trees as a heart, and how it is your heart, and how it is stone, etched with circles at the center, or incised spirals of metalwork material, the brass lens lyrical, and hybrids in clarity focused to longevity. All the blades, the willow branches, circle. Said in pure pigment, clay minerals shimmer and watercolored. These sinuous ribbons spiral to elliptical shadow, 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 shadow. When you look up, what you feel at night, song sense, full moon ward. It was days ago, it being hundreds of years still, colonial diet, mouths of lemniscate straightened to intersection. Upright images gather, this view from above like the crow was making this art up from the distance. All I can be at night is to be at the river, for a walk along the river and a walk in the forest matters. The current is moving faster. It moves, and we are stronger too. The nerves like veins wide river from my heart up over my left shoulder, mostly trees looking up from infinite imagined properties, a road into world and not into town. A quote from Gloria Anzaldúa, much of the time it's become a sort of home. Loves, sharp in the distance. Trembling fingers dig for atoms, and we're blurs of resistance, and we're plump, and we're blackened. Thank you.
You know, we don't have a lot of time, but we have enough time for some questions. So I will ask the two poets to join us on the stage.
So many different kind of aspects to both your work, but I do have some very kind of, I guess, simple questions for you. And these are just kind of quick questions. How did you come up with the titles of your work in terms of triage and in terms of Wally Sweets?
I think a lot of my work is titled by things I overhear. The poem, "In the City, Everything is So Far Apart," I heard someone on the SkyTrain saying that, and just kind of like the way that sounded. So I think a lot of my titles are found, and often relate to a place.
Similar for me, most of my poems' titles, if they have titles, are coming from the poetry. Triage comes from a poem, the first poem in the book, but it wasn't my original title, which we don't need to talk about original title, which wasn't very good.
Do tell.
No.
Come on.
It was Economy Cumley, which is too complicated. Anyway, it was a conversation actually with the publisher, and it was the one major edit of the book was changed the title. But in recently, I actually have a lot of anxiety around titles, so that I appreciate the question. My current composition, this manuscript, I am not using titles for my poems, and it's really freeing. There will be titles in terms of sections, but yeah, I'm trying to escape a little bit from that, the heading. Or do you need that? You don't need that.
It's interesting that my next question was how important is the title? So, and the reason why I ask is in Triage, you have a number of poems that have titles and a series of poems that are just marked 1, 2, 3, and 4. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to explore that a little further with you. What is your anxiety around titles?
Oh, no. Anxiety might be too strong of a word, but it is a heading. I understand it as a framework. So for Triage, it's necessary. There's a lot of pieces that are getting put together, and so they do require some distinction, and the sections themselves, and so there's layers within layers of that. I was starting to explore serial poems, so I guess that's a kind of a, I don't know what, I was going to say a Vancouver thing, I'm going to go lower mainland thing maybe, but that the serial poem is, or the long poem, Canadian thing. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to understand that, and it makes sense sometimes to do that numerical division, but when you pull out a title and you put it on top, it also gives weight, or it gives a thesis, if you will, possibly to the poem, and shifts that meaning, or tells the reader, this is my intention in terms of this poem. So I think it signifies in a particular way, and I think that's partly in this newer work where I'm exploring, maybe opening that up a little bit, if that makes sense.
I guess I'll add, for my collection, Wally Sweets, I was thinking about the sweets, and I just named them all the same thing. So I guess that kind of took a lot of variety away from the work, but I was using the title as a constraint for that piece.
Thank you. Just one question each for you, and then we will go to the audience. So with Taryn, with your work, there's so much of an emphasis on your found experience around the space of Wally, and also the appropriation of so many different kinds of language from your viewscape. It's almost like you're actually creating a poetic pastiche of billboards and media language. I just wonder, in terms of working through that process, is there any, maybe I should ask this the other way around. In order to create a poem that is in some ways a private space of communication, how do you engage the public space? Does that make sense? Or
so you're saying the poem is a private space?
No, I'm sensing that in all of both your works, there is a true emphasis on the public space. But how do you get to experience the private space through the public creation? That's a little esoteric, sorry.
Okay. Well, I would say that in the same way as a photographer will take a picture of something, they're still framing it. And so for me, everything that I put in my poems, they're personally selected by me. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a way that I would kind of create a personal experience of Wally.
I think there's always privacy in poetry, and I think that's one of the beauties of this forum, is that you can you spill that language out in very deliberate ways, but at the end of the day, nobody's ever going to know exactly what you meant, and that's good. There's a line in one of the poems I read, it was Rented Privacy, and I'm speaking very specifically to a class of people who spend most of their life in public, right? And so if you live in an SRO, for example, or a small residence that doesn't have a kitchen or a bathroom, or, you know, so what is your living room? What is your park space? What is your outdoor? So you spend so much time in that public sphere, or you're accessing services. And so maybe you're having your meals in a public drop-in space or whatever. So that the privacy is actually a deep luxury for many of us. But yeah, I think poetry, and this is, I don't know what more too much to say about it, but that there's absolutely an unconscious process happening as well, and that's really private. So yeah,
great, thank you. I'm just going to make an observation here. Both of you are heavily focused on working with research, working with archival material, working with the media language, surveillance language, police language, governance language, all of those different lingual kind of leaps that you take in your constructions is a real meditation about the public space and the public and civil society as we kind of know it. It's a rich area, but I did notice that, Cecily, with your more recent work with Line, you're almost moving from that staccato, codified kind of construction that's so much part of triage into a more of a lyrical space. And I know it's kind of, well, that's what I'm hearing.
Laughing because for some folks, lyrical is bad for poetry.
So. Well, and I don't think it's bad. I think that sometimes subject material and context of material actually influences the form or kind of, you know, maybe you can just...
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm sorry, just lyric is, yeah, what's necessary. My tact right now in terms of writing is what is necessary for the poem. And I do believe it has a life, whatever I can... Oh, it sounds... As soon as I said that, it sounds weird, but there is. I want it to flow from the meaning and from the research, from the experiments, from the experience rather, from the conversations that I'm having with people, and from a meditation on that actual space, which I spend a lot of time in. So, it's a lot of organic metaphors coming up. Not surprisingly, it's an island in the river and like on this coast, and I'm very concerned about the ecology of it. And it's also what often grounds personally me and many of us is that relationship to the outdoors in some ways and the land. So I'm definitely, there is a move away from some of that urban disjuncture. It's present as well, and so there's maybe an interplay. And part of that is also trying to become maybe more historical or finding... it's the kind of accessibility. So for many of us, our ears are tuned to rhythm and rhyme in such a way, and I refuse to give that up because it's not cool or avant-garde. I don't even know what those things mean. But I've just discovered that Larissa is avant-gardist, so that's awesome. Now I know. That's good news. But yeah, and so like the rhythm and rhyme and things that are sort of, you know, in some ways... dismissed are really necessary for me and connects to my histories as well. Do you have anything to add? Or?
Do you have any more questions? Because I have a question for you, Pinder. Thank you so much.
No.
Thank you so much for sharing your poetry. And I also think that your new work is a departure from your previous two books as well. Your previous two books felt more personal. Nature, like coming from your life, there were references to your jobs, your family, and I'm just wondering how that plays into your new work, or if it does.
Definitely. I've decided to shift the practice. The first book of poetry was really about disrupting language by using Punjabi rhythm and Punjabi speech patterns, and also Punjabi rhythm samples. And the reason why I did that was because it really was about my relationship to the English language and that colonial experience. So it was very much a kind of an experimental lingual body of work, but that was still grounded in the personal. The second book of poetry was really about the confessional voice, and it was really about the private space of a family and its migration. And so, again, the content really dictated for me the kind of form that I would kind of express myself in. So I did allow myself a lot of free form and a lot of really personal kind of flow. And Sandra's doing the T sound, so the T sign. So I'm going to just abruptly end there and say these next series of poems is really a departure and really wonderful because it's quite liberating. Once you've kind of, you know, published, you kind of sometimes find yourself in a confine as a writer, and you're always trying to find a new space for expression. But I do want to actually open up the space, if I can, Sandra. Can we open up? 5 minutes? Okay. All right, so we'll open it up for questions from the audience. If I can grab that remote. Does anybody have questions for our authors?
Hi, I have a question for Taryn. In one of your pieces, you mentioned something about the cost to change the name of a road. And then you talk about the King George Boulevard / highway. And you shift back and forth between the two. And I was just wondering if you could comment on that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, that's an interesting point that you bring up. I think it was in 2010 that the city of Surrey changed the road from King George Highway to King George Boulevard. And I actually found some information on the website about how, and they changed about 6 or 7 roads in Whalley, or Surrey City Centre as they call it. Like East Whalley Boulevard is now University Drive, and West Whalley Boulevard is West Whalley Ring Road is Whalley Boulevard, and etc. And I think there's actually language in the City of Surrey's documents that say, like, that talk about how name changes, like, help project a new image. So that's something that I want to keep in my work, that the lineage of these names and how and kind of mark how they're changing, because I think it is pretty interesting how the names change, especially Boulevard. There's an interesting history of Boulevard. So stay tuned.
I just wanted to thank all three of you for beautiful, beautiful readings, incredible work. My question is about the act of listening, because I think if there's something that sort of cuts through the work of all three of you, it's that you're all really attentive listeners. And I wonder if you could just talk about the way you incorporate the act of listening into your work.
I completely, listening is, I think anybody who actually creates any kind of work has to be hyper aware of almost minutiae observations about life, about people, and it's not a special thing. It's actually it's a conflicting thing, because you observe a little too much and you go crazy. But I think that I think the act of listening and also listening and not creating an easy frame around something is really important, because that's where empathy comes from, and that's where the ability to truly understand a given context. For example, I think in the recent work that I read, I definitely needed to completely take my frame of reference on a historical moment out of myself, because I had this baggage and this kind of this frame of reference around the Kamagata Maru, which was a historical reference, a narrative reference, and a contained reference. And in order to really do something different and to be able to kind of feel that you're contributing something a little more richer in the story, I think listening to what's not there in the archive, in the research, is really kind of a place where I kind of began in this work.
Thanks for the question. I think it's incredibly important to me because I think there's an ethics to listening and and how we might apply it. So we are always thinking through that framing, but our appropriation, right? And sometimes this is going to be necessary and important and actually strengthening. So when I'm listening to voices in my community in which I'm a paid worker and to have these kinds of privileges, I'm thinking this through. I'm listening to people. I'm reading. I think in the past I've been overwhelmed. I'm a note taker. I take notes all the time. I have a notebook with me. I can't really process life without note taking, and it's a key aspect of part of how I write poetry. I also I've talked about it before as being a kind of sanity, a way of filtering. I'm not very good at filtering otherwise, and so I do a lot of reading and listening. My recent work making, and I think this speaks to a more post-trauma. I had, anyway, long story, but in a different moment now, able to listen to other things and other process. So people, yes, text, yes, but the land and the flow and the traffic and the noise and the smells. And so listening and senses in a complex way, all of it. And I think my favorite kind of writing understands or is aware of that complexity. So listening, reading, absolutely integral. And also translation, because then, of course, you all are listening, which is a gift. But what is that process and how does that come out of, and the empathy, how do we create that moment?
I just want to build upon what Cecily and Pinder have been saying. Listening is an interesting thing. Like, how do I put what I hear into my poetry? And one thing that I've started to do is create some sound recordings of Surrey, of different spots. I've been around the Surrey City Hall as they build it, and like the sounds of the bricklayers, and I think that's an important part of documenting. I'm really interested in documentation, and then so actually listening without writing, like without me translating what I hear and just listening, just having it just to record. So thank you for your question.
My question is, I really feel like you guys sort of captured the essence of Surrey and Vancouver, like in such a way, like you guys mentioned a lot of different subjects, like whether it was like housing or substance misuse, or like the idea of like the contrast between like rich and poor. And I was wondering, do you think that like homelessness would, like, can we ever as a society abolish homelessness, or will it always exist? Because on one hand, I feel like you guys talked about like the resiliency of the human spirit. And so I'm wondering like what your thoughts are on that.
Big question. I haven't written a lot of, actually I've written no poems about Surrey. And my Surrey experience, I've been a resident for 6 years, but I do look forward to writing. But I'll hand this question over to Cecily.
Whether or not we can end homelessness, we're in a dramatically, ridiculously austere time in terms of care of other people. And we have way too many people on the street, poorly housed in dangerous situations, alongside our absolute extreme wealth. So for me, I appreciate the question and hearing that. It is, I think, mainly a question of will. And I don't mean just political will. I mean, what do we as people care? And how are we going to make these changes? We're not living towards this. We're doing something else right now. It's very distracted and it's not empathetic. And so instead of creating stigma and blame and judgment, like human beings should be in homes. And let's start there. And it's the major determinant to health, to well-being, to having a job, to getting ahead, to being taking care of one's family. It's so critical. So for me, it's let's try.
I agree with what Cecily's saying. And I work in Burnaby, and I take the Patella Bridge home. And there's often little makeshift houses that people are living in temporarily. And whenever I see one, I'm certain within a few days someone's going to come and like kick them out of there. And it always reminds me of Cecily's line, home is where the cart is. Mm-hmm. So I can't really answer your question, but I just wanted to share that story.
This concludes our podcast of Verse on the Edge. Just a reminder that if you're interested in becoming involved with our events, you can visit us at sophiacollective.com, where you can also see photos and video of our event. Thanks for listening. See you next time.